Thanks for choosing to listen to another City Point West podcast. I trust that this message empowers and encourages you to continue your journey of faith.
What a day to be in the house of God. What a day to be standing here talking about Jesus Christ. And you know, today we celebrate the power of the cross. We celebrate the power of what that means. We celebrate the power of the resurrected Christ. This is a man, not just any man, not just a prophet, not just a wise man that said wise things. This is a man that came to earth proclaiming he was God incarnate, making this declaration that he would die and he would rise again from the dead. Paul writes of him in Philippians chapter 2, verse 8 to 11, and says, being of the appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and given him the name above every name, the name of Jesus. Every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth, and of those who are under the earth. Every tongue would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. When Paul writes these words, he writes of the great power of what it meant for Jesus to come here. Jesus to come and walk upon the earth, God becoming man. The scriptures call him Emmanuel, God with us. It was Jesus Christ humbled. Listen, he humbled himself not just to become a man, he humbled himself to be hung upon the cross. The Creator, humbled by his creation, to die upon his creation was the great reality of what Easter is, the great reality and the power of us understanding humility, understanding what it means to be humbled, understanding what it means to bring ourselves low. Listen, as humans, as men and women in this room today, we understand the power of humility connects us to the cross. It connects us further than the cross. It connects us to the resurrection. If you just go to that day, as Braden talked about before, as those women run to the tomb and they find a stone that was put in place that was unable to be rolled away. They find it rolled away. This is the picture of what it means for our lives. That tomb is the tomb of us lost in our sin, lost in our brokenness, lost in our despair, lost in our addiction, lost in our hurt, lost in our shame. But that stone of our lives has been rolled away as the angel comes, as the power of God comes through the resurrection for our lives. And we access it, the Bible tells us, humbly. We humbly come and say, I'm in need of a Savior. You may be in this room. You may have tried to do things right. You may have tried to act right. You may have tried to put away your sinful behavior. You may have tried to make everything good in your life, tried to speak right, tried to act right, tried to walk right, but it's become so impossible and so difficult. Today, I tell you humbly, come before Christ. Through the power of his resurrection, he comes and grabs a humble heart and a humble life and brings you in the power of who he is in your life, rolls away the stone of your heart, rolls away the stone of your addiction, rolls away the stone of your shame, rolls away the stone of your brokenness, rolls away the stone of your sin today. As we come humbly to him, Andrew Murray wrote this. He said, pride must die in you, or nothing of heaven can live in you. The power of his resurrection comes and is at work in your life as you come humbly before Jesus and lay your life before him. Galatians chapter 2, Paul writes again, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Listen, if you're here in this room and you don't know Jesus Christ, today I want to encourage you to humbly bring your heart before Jesus. Surrender your life to him. Surrender your heart to him. Surrender it to him today. And in that, we see through the power of his resurrection, we become alive in Christ. No longer I that liveth. No longer my old sinful man. Listen, you may walk into this room filled with shame, filled with the thought that your life could never be anything else but lost in sin and shame. I'm here today to tell you on this Easter Sunday, on this Resurrection Sunday, that the resurrection power of Jesus Christ alive in you, you become alive in Christ. Alive in Christ. It's not I that live. Listen, I stand here today as the pastor on the platform because it's no longer I that live. If I stood here today as a rebellious, backslidden 17-year-old, you wouldn't want to listen to a word I said because it was me that lived and it was a messy live. But today it's no longer I that live. The resurrected Christ has come and transformed my heart, transformed my mind, transformed my thinking. And Paul writes again to the Ephesians church, for by grace you've been saved through faith. Listen, you come humbly to that cross today. You come humbly to that empty tomb and the resurrected Savior today. And you've been saved by grace through faith. And this is not of your own doing, Paul says. It is a gift of God, not a result of the works that you do, so that no one may stand in this room and boast. I love the power of that for the church today. Listen, in the resurrected Christ, you may be walking with Jesus for 30, 40, 50 years. You may have been making great decisions, but it's not of my works, lest I could boast. For we are His workmanship. I look across this room and the wonderful workmanship of Jesus Christ. I look across this room, there are people that have walked into this room and your past has been messy. Your past was lost without Jesus. But you are now the workmanship of Jesus Christ. When your heart has been humbly brought before the resurrected Savior, you've become His workmanship at work in your life through the great power of the Holy Spirit working in you, the workmanship of Jesus Christ. You know, I'm not much of a creative person. If I was to try and paint a picture for you today, it'd be an ugly stick figure picture. If I was to try and get some clay and shape some clay and make you a nice mug, it wouldn't be a very nice mug for you to drink out of. It'd be one of those embarrassing ones that you don't put in the pool room, you hide at the back of the cupboard because your kid gave it to you when they were in kindergarten. And you still want to keep it because your kid, that's my cup I'm making for you today. But listen, if you wanted a beautiful painting, you would get my wife, who is very creative. And in our house, there's some lovely paintings that she's painted because her workmanship is not like mine. It's beautiful. It's creative. It's wonderful. It doesn't look like stick figures. It just is a beautiful picture. And listen, the workmanship of Jesus Christ in your life is not the empty, ugly cup that you hide at the back. It's the workmanship that is put in the pool room of celebration of a life transformed in the power of Jesus Christ. And the scripture here today says, we are His workmanship. Listen, when we come to this moment today, we come to the moment not of our good attempted works, not at the moment of our good attempted outworking of our life. We come at His workmanship in our lives today. And again, maybe you're here today and you don't know the workmanship of Jesus Christ in your life. Here in this moment, in the middle of this service, I would love us to just bow our heads and close our eyes right across this room. And maybe you sit here in this room today and you say, Pastor Tim, I've never opened my life to Jesus Christ. Or maybe you're here and you've many years ago walked with Christ and walked away, and today you say, Pastor Tim, I want to open my life again to Christ. Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed right across this room. I want to just give a moment, an opportunity for you to just say, Pastor Tim, I want to open my life. I want to receive Jesus in my heart here on this Easter Sunday. I want to become His workmanship. If that's you in this room today, I'd love you just to give me a wave. And right in your seat, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to believe that God would do a work. Thank you, young man. You can put that hand down. Who else today? Up the back, you can put that hand down. That is wonderful. Over here, that's great in your life. Lovely. Thank you, young man. Who will join those this morning? Just say, Pastor Tim, will you pray for me? I want to open my life to the workmanship of Jesus afresh. Listen, this is the beginning of something. It's not the end of it. It's not all of it. It's the beginning of an open life to Christ. My God, I pray for those across this room that just raise their hand in the air. Jesus, I pray here in this moment would be the beginning of great transformation. My God, as across this room, people have just begun to open their life to the work of Jesus, to His workmanship. My God, I lift up that young man, that young woman. I lift up those others here today in their lives, and I pray right now you begin such a work through the power of the Holy Spirit. A work of renewing, a work of restoring, a work of the great Holy Spirit speaking. My God, that you'd wash away failure, you'd wash away yesterday's mistakes, you wash away the disappointments of the past, and you come through your grace today to renew and restore. My Jesus, right now I thank you for your great workmanship, for your great workmanship in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Let's give those people a great hand today. You know, I know we're in the middle of the service and it's sort of hard to have the conversation, but listen, if that's you that made that decision, do not rush out today. We'd love you to stay around and at the end of our service, stop at our yes list. If somebody at your table hasn't talked to you before the end of today about that decision, where you go from here, we'd love you to make sure you do that. Listen, further on in the service, we're going to actually have communion together. It's going to be a celebration of the moment that God has just done right there in our hearts. And in fact, Sam Storm said this, the bread and the wine exist not simply to stir cognitive remembrance, but to light a fire of unquenchable longing for the Savior whose body and blood they symbolize. These visible signs are also a means of grace by which the Spirit excites and intensifies our thirst for what Jesus alone can offer. So come to the Eucharist hungry and feast. As I said, in a few moments, we're going to take communion together. We're going to celebrate communion together, because if we go back into the book of Acts, when Jesus was risen, he came back alive, rose from the dead, and ascended to heaven. And the early church continued on. And the early church outworked, and if we go into the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 2, it says they sold their possessions, their goods, they divided among them all as anyone had need. Verse 46 says, and so continuing daily in one accord in the temple, there was breaking of bread from house to house, and they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved. Listen, if we go into this picture here in Acts chapter 2, we see the church as the church was intended to be. They gathered together. We have this gathering together in the temple today. We're here in the house of God together. We're celebrating, worshiping, praying, believing, filled with faith together. It's a powerful thing. And it says they then went and they broke bread together from house to house. They had time of eating and fellowshipping. Now, if I'm going to be really honest with you, and I'd love to be today, if I'm going to be really honest, I would say I never truly grasped what this scripture meant until 13 years ago I came to City Point West. I've read that scripture, I've known that scripture, I've talked about that scripture, but I never understood the power of breaking bread and eating and genuine, true communion until I witnessed it. 13 years ago, when we came and were part of City Point West, Yannick and Eva joined this church. I remember multiple times after church going to Yannick and Eva's place to have fellowship, to have food, have lunch together. Now, my idea of lunch prior to that was probably most Caucasian people's understanding of lunch. And for Caucasian people, their understanding of lunch is fast food. Now, listen, I I grew up with authentic Scottish food. We would go to McDonald's and we'd go through the drive-thru and we'd get our food and we'd eat in the car on the way home and continue on with life because we put in our bodies fuel for living. But I went to Yannick and Eva's house to have lunch. I had an expectation that 12 o'clock lunch, I'd be going home by 2 o'clock in the afternoon at the latest. But I went to Yannick and Eva's house to have lunch. We hadn't even started cooking lunch until 2 o'clock. We were talking and prepping food, and Darius was starting the barbecue, which Darius seemed to take all day to start the barbecue, because there was more talking than preparation going on. Now we start the barbecue and we start the cooking process. And let me tell you, Darius is a wonderful cook on one hand, but a terrible cook on the other. Let me tell you, he's a wonderful cook because he knows how to cook food well, but he's a terrible cook because he knows how to eat it while he's cooking it. Sorry, Darius, for telling the truth here today. But let me tell you, there was a lot of meat when we started. There wasn't a lot of meat when we finished. We started cooking the barbecue at 2 o'clock. But listen, it wasn't about cooking barbecue because it wasn't about eating food. It was about fellowship. It was about talking and telling jokes and laughing and eating the food while we're supposed to be cooking the food and more laughing and mostly laughing at Darius at how much food he was eating whilst we're cooking. By about 6 o'clock, which for me is dinner, we start having lunch. Listen, I never encountered that before in my life, but that is actually biblical communion. That is biblical koinonia. That is the biblical outworking of what Jesus was talking about when they sat and ate together at the Lord's Supper. It wasn't about quick, let's put this food in so we can get out and get this whole thing done. It was about fellowship. It was about leaning on the chest of Jesus and talking and discovering life together and outworking life together. When we talk about communion, we've been fast-forwarded to our understanding of communion in a fast-forward, fast-food, fast-church understanding of communion that we bring out a wafer and we use a wafer because it doesn't go off and we can save it for next month as well. And we use our communion cups to just put it together real quick and make it happen. Listen, over COVID, we had to have pre-packed communion cups and wafers that I think, you know, probably would, if they'd made in Jesus' time, would still be around today because they're so full of preservatives to last on that communion cup. That cup, I swear, tasted like, I don't know what it tasted like. It definitely wasn't juice. I'm certain it was medicine. But that wasn't actually the picture of biblical community. That wasn't the picture that we see in the breaking of bread from house to house. They ate their food with gladness, simplicity of heart. What does that mean? Are they simple? They're not simple. They just simply enjoyed each other's company with laughter and joy and excitement. And what were they sharing around? They were sharing around Christ, around who he is and who he was to them. Paul, when he writes to the church of Corinth in 1 Corinthians, he speaks about communion and the Lord's Supper. In verse 23 of chapter 11, he says, I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. Now, can I just theologically stop here? We would maybe, if you don't know your Bible, think Paul was sitting in the Lord's Supper with Jesus the day before he was to be hung on the cross. But in fact, Paul wasn't. At that stage, he was a Pharisee that was against Jesus and against the church. He hadn't found Christ at that stage of his life. It was years later in the encounter with Jesus when he spent time with the Holy Spirit that the Holy Spirit revealed to him what was revealed to the rest of the disciples right there on that Lord's Supper night. And he says, on the night when he was betrayed, Jesus took some bread. And he gave thanks to God for it. And he broke it in pieces and said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant. between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. He says this as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. He wasn't talking about that we'd come to the temple. He was talking about that we'd come to a place of fellowship, of breaking bread. Why did they break bread? Many people would say they broke bread so that years later it could be a perfect representation of Jesus' flesh. That's not why. They broke bread because that was culturally what they ate. They ate bread and they drank wine. Listen, if Jesus had turned up in India, they'd be maybe eating rotis or something like that, and that would be their celebration. If he turned up in Africa, it'd be fufu that we'd be eating. Listen, he turned up in a place that we get this bread because this is a celebration and a representation of their fellowship together. They're eating together. Now, no doubt we see some strange theology going through the years where people say, well, that bread turns into the actual body of Jesus and the actual blood. Listen, that is if something you believe in this room. That's not necessarily theologically what we believe in this room. We believe it's a great representation. A representation of what it was in Jesus. Listen, we have gone, again, the religious route of doing our best to try and represent it. Now, I want to encourage you. If you're not a part of a life group in this church, find a life group. Find a place to get connected because, listen, we can't do this every week because it just doesn't fit. This is probably the last time we can do it because we've outgrown it. People are joining our church, coming to Christ, and that's what God's called us to do, and that's a wonderful thing. But we have life groups. You can do this and fellowship around the breaking of bread and food. And listen, it might happen with Tim Tams in your life group. It might happen with some fufu and some wonderful African food. It might happen, you know, with a whole range of different foods, but it happens around the fellowship and the breaking of bread and food together and sharing communion, koinonia. If we look in the English, communion, common union together. What is our common union? What should our common union be? It should be Jesus Christ. It should be him crucified. It should be him resurrected. It should be his power at work in our lives through the resurrected Christ. And then we break bread and we share it.
I know this message will keep speaking to you as you continue your day. So for more information about City Point West, jump on citypointchurch.com or follow our social media accounts, Instagram, City Point West, or our Facebook, City Point Church West. Have a great day.